As already has been stated, and we want to echo these thoughts once again. If you're visiting with us this morning, we do have a number of visitors here. We want you to know we do appreciate your presence here. I'll let you know that we meet here each and every Lord's Day, 9:40 for Bible class, 10:30 for worship, and then Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for worship. And tonight, Scott will be bringing another lesson to us from God's Word. And so if you're in the area, we'd like to invite you to come back and to be with us. And if you haven't, if we haven't had a chance to yet meet you this morning, we ask that you stay around a few minutes after worship this morning so we might be able to shake your hand and see if there's any spiritual need that we can help you meet in your walk with God. There were three friends that decided to go deer hunting together. One was a lawyer, one was a doctor, one was a preacher. And as they were walking along, they came across a big buck, and wouldn't you know it, the three of them shot simultaneously. And immediately, the buck dropped to the ground. All three, the lawyer, the doctor, and the preacher, rushed up to see how big that buck was. Upon reaching it, they saw how big he was, but could not determine which of their shots was the one that was the kill shot. And so they start arguing. I killed him. It was my shot that got him. Can't you tell? And back and forth they go, over and over and over, and their voices got louder and louder, till finally the game officer just happened across them, hearing the disturbance. And he asked, he said, well, what's the problem here? And they said, well, we all shot at the same time, and we don't know which one hit the buck, killed it. And the game warden said, well, you know what? I think I can figure it out. And so he looks at the buck, and he examines the buck, and all of a sudden, he exclaims, you know, I know exactly who it was who shot the buck. They all kind of scratched their head. How in the world, by just looking at this deer, can you tell who shot it? Said, who is it? And he said, it was the preacher. How do you know? Because the bullet went in one ear and out the other. Sometimes preachers feel that way. Last week, I started a series of lessons, which, to be honest, I didn't intend for this to be a series at first. And then Scott and I were discussing things in our Tuesday morning coffee. Was it Wednesday this week? Yeah, it was Wednesday this week. Wednesday morning coffee. Some topics, and he made mention, you know, the series of lessons that I started. And I was thinking to myself, well, I didn't really intend for it to be a series, but you know what, let's just go with it. And so it's become a series. And I guess, you know, when we talk about this subject of dangers on the disciples' path, there's a lot of things that we can throw into it. There's a lot of topics that would be legitimate dangers that we face. But I don't want to keep this open-ended. I want to keep it relatively narrow. And so we're just going to talk this morning and then over the next couple of weeks. And what I want to talk about this morning has to do with the illustration, and that is on the subject of hearing. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, as the Apostle Paul addresses the church of Galatia, he says, I am astonished that you are so soon or quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. As Paul looked at that church of Galatia, he was stunned. He was astonished. He didn't quite get the fact that they had turned quickly from the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of grace, going back to and bringing into that gospel works of the old law in order to earn salvation. So he says, I'm astonished that you're doing that. Because I preached to you, and the message has been preached to you, and yet you have rejected it. Numerous times in the Bible we hear phrases about hearing and how people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, is how we hear the gospel. And that brings us to our text, which will be in the book of Jeremiah, as we're going to talk about that Old Testament prophet Jeremiah as he addresses the nation of Judah. And I imagine that Jeremiah felt the same way as many preachers that come along and preach the gospel and preach the message of God, and that is, why is it that people don't listen? Why is it they reject? Why is it that they don't hear? And the phrase, hear the word of the Lord, is a phrase that's found 15 times in the book of Jeremiah. And the reason is that, spiritually speaking, the people of God merited and necessitated repetition. They just didn't get it. They didn't understand. Why is it that they didn't understand? Well, Judah was in a very sinful condition at this point in time. As you go through the book of Jeremiah, and we won't go through every passage in the book of Jeremiah, you'll note that the prophets, the priests, and the kings were corrupt individuals. And so you look at the leadership, and it was corrupt, and that had a negative influence upon the nation. So when the prophet of God, Jeremiah, comes along, people don't listen to him. They just keep following the prophets and the priests and the kings. The people of Judah has secondly forgotten God. If you notice in Jeremiah the second chapter and verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, we read this: "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And then down in verse 27 and verse 28 says, "Who," that is these people, "say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone you gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me and not their face, but in time of their trouble they say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you made for yourself? Let them arise if they can save you in your time of trouble, for as many as your cities are your gods, O Judah." So God addresses to the people through Jeremiah, and he says, you have forgotten me. You turn your back on me. You reject me. You have forsaken me. And you go around and you say, well, this rock is my idol, or this tree is my idol, or this object, and yet when you fall into trouble, you call to me. Why you call to me when you haven't called to me before? You've forgotten me. And this also introduces the idea, the concept, that they had committed adultery with false gods. Instead of being married to and in covenant with God, they have been adulterating themselves with idolatry. And for that reason, they perpetually fell backwards. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding?" It wasn't that this just happened one time. It was over and over and over and over, to such a point where they would refuse to listen to the prophet, refuse to repent, and continue to run in their own way. Now the question is, why is it that they did this? Why did they continually turn away from God? And that brings us to chapter 22 of the book. Chapter 22 of Jeremiah. And we're going to begin our reading in verse 24. Now in Jeremiah chapter 22, he addresses several kings. This is a chapter that's written over an extended period of time. And so he comes to the king, Jeconiah, or Coniah, as some translations will say, or Jehoiachin. And God issues to Jehoiachin and the people his judgment. So beginning in verse 24, this is what he says: "As I live, declares the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet ring on my right hand, yet I would tear you off and give you into the land of those who seek your life, into the hand of those whom you are afraid, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. I will hurl you and the mother who bore you into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land to which they will long to return, there they shall not return. God says, I'm going to take you, Coniah, and I'm going to take your family, and I'm going to take the people, and I'm going to cast them into a nation that's not your own. And we know that that would happen. It would be Babylonian captivity that would last for 70 years. And then God specifically addresses Coniah. He says, is this man Coniah a despised, broken pot, a vessel no one cares for? Why are he and his children hurled and cast into a land that they do not know? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days, for none of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Judah. God tells Coniah, he says, I want you to know something. He says, not one of your children are going to sit on the throne. I'm going to write you off as childless. Now, all of this is predicated on verse 29, and that is, he says, land, hear me. O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. In other words, they had not been listening. They refused to hear God, the word of the Lord. They heard the prophets, they heard the priests, they heard the kings, they heard all the things that were vying for their attention, but they did not hear God. They had become, and they use the New Testament phrase, dull of hearing. And what I see in this is simply this. It's not very different today. There's many voices in our society, many voices in religion, and many voices within the church that are clamoring to be heard. There's the voice of denominationalism, that we need to be more like denominations, that it's okay to live how you want to live just as long as you execute some form of faith and religion on Sunday. There's the voice of humanism that we constantly hear about in secular society, and that is, man is God. And what man thinks of and his knowledge is the most elevated thing there is. There's secularism, and that is, you know what, just go ahead and do whatever you want. Just live that way, as long as you don't hurt anyone, and it's okay. And there's the voice of materialism, gain, 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 get as much as you can in this life. And we could go on and on and on and talk about the number of different isms that are clamoring to be heard. But in all that noise, the voice of God sounds forth, listen to me. We need to hear and obey his voice. We need to hear and obey his word and not allow ourselves to become dull of hearing. And we'll see in a little bit what are some ways that we become dull of hearing. But as we start this morning, I want us to know that there are some different uses of the word hear. I mean, there's, you know, like the word love and other words in the New Testament and in the Bible, sometimes we just have one word and the implication, the connotation of that word goes beyond that what that one word that's common uses and communicates. And it's similar with the word hear. You know, when we're talking about the word hear, there are different ways that we hear. Number one is we learn by hearing. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus says, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Jesus says, what I'm telling you, my disciples, when you go out, you communicate. So I speak and you learn. There's other ways in which it is used. It's used also in just how we listen, that we listen attentively. In Luke 19 and verse 47-48, in the New King James Version, it says this, and he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, the leaders of the people, sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, that idea there, that they were attentive to hear him, doesn't communicate that they were actually learning, but they were paying attention to what he was saying. Another way that the word hear is used is in Mark chapter 4 and verse 33, and that is to comprehend. Not just to learn, but to understand what's being communicated. So it says, Mark 4, 33, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. Oh, was it that they just couldn't hear Jesus audibly? No, they could hear him. Well, was it that they weren't learning anything? No, they were learning, but they were comprehending it. They were able to understand. And another way it's used is to yield to hear, to obey. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 22 and 23, Moses said, "The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You will listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." So here is Jeremiah. Jeremiah goes around, preaches, and other prophets that came along. Is salvation the fact that people heard their message audibly? No. They had to respond to it. They had to obey that message and submit to it. And that's what we want to be concerned about, and that is this. That when we talk about hearing, it is hearing to be attentive, hearing to understand, hearing with a willingness to obey. So we ask the question, well, what is it we listen to then? What is it that we are to hear? We turn to Jeremiah for that answer. Jeremiah was working in what would be considered a very problematic society. There's people that were running to sin over and over and over and over. And so what Jeremiah's message was twofold, and that was God's people need to hear God instead of the prophets who are false. They need to hear God instead of what's false. And the second message was, you need to hear God's word instead of man's word. Listen to the Almighty God and not to some man, whether he be a false prophet or a king or a ruler. Has that changed, that message? You know, Jesus dealt with that same issue. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets." He says, there's going to be people that come to you, and they're going to preach things that are not in accordance with the gospel, not in accordance with God's word. What are you to do? Don't listen to them. Know them by their fruit. In Mark chapter 7, and verse 5 through verse 13, he rebukes people for not listening to God's word, but rather for listening to men. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 5, he says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?' And he said to him, 'Well, did Isaiah the prophet say of you, hypocrites, as it is written, that the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandments of God and hold to the tradition of men.'" So Jesus came along and said, don't listen to man, listen to God. But you know what? The apostles also dealt with it. The apostles preached and taught, there's going to be false teachers, you don't listen to them. Colossians 2 and verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive. Don't listen to it. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "When anyone comes to you teaching you something, you test the spirits to see whether they are of God." Are they of God or are they of man? So what we see in Jeremiah's day and in Jesus' day that continued into the apostles' day is still relevant today. There are false teachers, false messages in the world. And in spite of all the noise that is around us, of people saying, listen to this, listen to this, listen to this, our responsibility is to listen to God, to form our beliefs, our standards, our morals, our thoughts, our principles according to God. And when someone brings something different, to test that, to be like the Bereans who are more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures. I appreciate Brother Carl's prayer about, you know, preachers and testing words. It doesn't matter if it's me or if it's Scott. You need to hear what's preached, open up God's word, and evaluate it. Why? Because we're just men, and we need to listen to God. It is foolish to yield to man, because man lies. God does not. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, God who cannot lie. There are people that are out there say, this is how you ought to live as a Christian. It's okay to go out and to pattern yourself after the world just as long as you live some semblance of Christianity on Sunday. But that's not the truth. That's a lie. Man cannot save, but God can save. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and a verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says, this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God who is the Savior of all people. That's why we listen to God's word and not to man. And lastly, because in the end, man can't condemn you, but God can. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but can kill the soul, rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, what keeps us from listening? What are some obstacles to hearing the message? What is it that allows messages to go in one ear and out the other, God's word to go in one ear and out the other? I guess the first thing that we can say is that people have a problem hearing the message is out of ignorance. You know, the Jews, who are God's people, failed to hear out of ignorance. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3 says they're ignorant of God's righteousness. But stop there and let's think about that. These were God's people. These were God's chosen people. People that were raised up under the law of Moses from the time of their birth to their, you know, through their adulthood. They knew the law. In fact, some even said that, you know, the Jews and their appreciation of the law and their knowledge of the law was so rich that every child had it. It was almost as if that the law of God passed through the mother's milk into the child. It was just that prevalent. So how is it he could say that they were ignorant? Weren't the prophets and the law to them? Didn't they know that the law brought them to the Christ of God, the Messiah? Didn't the prophets bear witness of the Christ? So you could go to Isaiah and you could go to Jeremiah and you could go through all the prophets and you could see over and over and over, there's someone coming, the Christ is coming, the Messiah. Nevertheless, the Jews were ignorant. And because of that, they rejected Jesus. Why were they ignorant? It's because they chose to be ignorant. It was willful ignorance. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, we see this idea, this concept, when it says, they will say, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning. For they deliberately overlooked this fact. He said, there are some people that form a belief. They know the truth. They form a belief and they do it deliberately. They're deliberately ignorant. You know, there's Christians out there and live however they want to live, put their discipleship and their eternity in jeopardy. And the reason is they just don't confuse me with the facts. Don't interrupt my time here on earth with something. But just as the Jews face the judgment of God, so will we if we refuse to hear just because of willful ignorance. Sometimes we refuse to hear because of pride. I've heard it all before. Have you ever heard someone say that? I've heard it over the years preaching. People say, oh, I've heard it all before. And there's no preacher that can get up there and say, something I haven't heard. Okay, so why aren't you practicing it? You who are parents, you've probably had this situation at some point in your life where you go to one of your kids and you say, you know what, son or daughter, I would like you to do this. And their response is, I know. Well, then why haven't you done it? I know, you know, you've told me before, you don't have to keep repeating it. Well, I do because you're not following it. I told a story in my class. Preacher got up one Sunday morning and decided, he didn't decide Sunday morning what he was going to preach, but he decided what he was going to preach on Sunday morning, and it was a stinging rebuke of some kind of sin. And when he got done, you know, everyone came up behind him after services, shook his hand, said, oh, great lesson, brother so-and-so, really appreciate that. Next week, he decided, you know what, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to preach the same sermon twice. And so he gets up that next Sunday morning, and he preaches the same sermon a second time. And they're like, okay, something's not right here, but you know what, we'll allow it because maybe it was a tough week and he just needed to recycle that lesson. And so people came out and said, hey, brother so-and-so, really appreciate it. Thank you very much for that lesson. We'll see you next week. But the preacher wasn't going to have any of it, and so he said, I'm going to preach it again the third week. This time everyone knew something was up. So they came up to him after, some member came up to him afterwards and said, hey, brother so-and-so, you know, you preached the same sermon on this sin 3 weeks in a row now. Something going on? And the preacher responds, as soon as we get this point down, we'll move on to the next one. The point being is, you know, here you have people say, yo, I've heard it all before, but they weren't making application in their life. And so the same sin continued over and over and over because they were proud. They saw the sin, the fault in others, but not in themselves. Another obstacle is protection. That we want to prove or protect some belief that we have. And so I have a belief, so I don't want to hear God's word because that might contradict my belief. But that can't be an approach of a Christian to God's word because we will be deceived unless we walk in truth. And then there's prejudice, which is a preconceived judgment or opinion. There are certain subjects that we as preachers preach, and we know as soon as we say the title or flash the title up on the screen and say this is what it is, that half the brains in a congregation close down immediately because of what the subject is. Don't confuse me with those subjects. I don't want to talk about those subjects. And there's a problem in that. Because sometimes the prejudice we have is an inaccurate and incorrect prejudice. You know, we have an example of Naaman. Naaman, who was told because he was a leper to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And what was Naaman's response? He went away angry because he said, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, wave his hand over the place, and cure me. And it didn't happen. Luckily, or graciously, we should say, Naaman had a servant who was a little bit more wise and said, if he would have asked you to do something great, would you have done it? If so, then why not do this? Sometimes we don't listen just because we're procrastinating. Don't want to hear it. I'll hear it someday, sometime in the future. Is that how we approach God's word? And listening to God's word? If it is, we will fall short of God and his word. So why should we listen? Why should we listen to what God has to say? I want to just give just a few things real quick here. If you do listen to God's message, what you will hear. If you listen to God's word, you hear a plan of salvation. A plan for salvation. A plan that started way back before time began. Once God developed a plan that involved his son, Christ, and the church to redeem man and bring them back into relationship with him. A relationship that's lost due to sin. What you'll hear if you listen to the Gospels, you'll hear Christ's invitation. An invitation that so often we forget, fail to realize is meant for us. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What you'll hear is, if you listen to the gospel, you'll hear the Spirit's proclamation. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. And what you'll hear is about man's sanctification. Man needs to be set apart. Man needs to be holy. Man needs to be pure. The grace of God that has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, has trained us to renounce all ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. When we look at that message, I think as Christians, it's very easy for us to hear the plan of salvation. It's easy for us to hear Christ's invitation. And it's easy for us to hear what the Spirit says: if we're not faithful, we'll face eternal damnation. The problem comes with the message of sanctification. That God created me a new creature. Not the old man of sin, but to be a man conformed to the image of Christ. As we walk the Christian path, the disciples' way, it's very easy to get to a point in our lives and say, I've heard it all before. Or here the preacher is and he's saying this again. Don't allow that to happen to you. Don't be like that buck who had the bullet going one ear and out the other. But rather, let God's word go in your ear and hit your heart. Do that attentively, faithfully, reverently, and submissively. And so we speak this morning, first of all, to those that aren't in Christ. You have not responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel is that you are lost in sin. What sin is a rebellion against God and against his laws. We all have sinned. We're all sinners. So how do we make it right with God? We make it right through the blood of his son that was sacrificed on our behalf. And we come into contact with that blood. We become forgiven by his blood. When we repent of our sins, we confess his name as Lord and as Savior, and we're baptized for the remission of sins. If you need to do that this morning, then why not? We'll give that opportunity for you in just a moment. But the other part of this message is for those that are members of the body, already become Christians. You still listening to God? You're listening to his word, or the voices and the sounds of society and denominationalism and secularism and all those isms, are they finding root in your life? So much so that the sound of God's voice is barely heard. Open your ears up a little bit more. Hear God say to you this morning, make your life right. If we can help you, We'd love to do that. Either case, either situation you're in, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing this song.